But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things that are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness of the sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord.
That was beautiful. Amen. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. As most of you know, we're doing a series on the fundamental beliefs, the 28 fundamental beliefs. And every time I get up to speak, I speak on a few of our beliefs. The last time I spoke was 2 weeks ago on feudal faith. We did beliefs 9 and 10, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and the experience of salvation. And today, we are going to do beliefs 11 and 12, growing in Christ and the church. And we are doing these beliefs in the light of Christ and who he is, and just getting back down to the basics, the foundations of what we believe. I mean, why are we here? Why do we believe what we believe? The next time I will speak, the next session in this series will be on November 7th. We will do number 13, The Remnant. So I just want to make that announcement. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer before we begin today. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you and praise you for this beautiful Sabbath day that you've given us. We thank you for bringing us through this week. Many of us have had some difficult week or a very busy week, but we have much to be thankful for and much to lift our hearts up to you in praise for, and we just thank you for bringing us here. I just ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to lead and to guide, to take charge of this sermon, that your name may be honored and glorified, and that we might be in your presence and worship you today. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Unqualified. Have you ever felt like you were unqualified? Were you ever hesitant or afraid to move forward because you just did not feel qualified? Maybe you didn't feel qualified to apply for a job or a certain position, or to lead a group, or write a book, or to accept a position that was offered to you, or maybe even to express your thoughts. Not qualified, unqualified. Unqualified to be the one that watches and prays. Wasn't there always someone you thought that was more qualified than you? And so you stepped back. This is something that I've been thinking about. You know, whenever you start looking at your own life, you're like, I'm just not qualified. God needs to use somebody that's more qualified. Unqualified. Let's look at Matthew 21:42. Matthew chapter 21. We're going to talk about being unqualified. Matthew 21:42 says, Jesus said to them, "Have you ever read in the scriptures, 'The stones that the builders rejected has become the capstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous on our eyes.'" See, there was a stone that was unqualified. It was rejected. The builders had looked at the stone and said, "Nope, that is not the one. It is not qualified." Sometimes other people make us feel like we're unqualified, don't they? But it became the capstone. How did that happen? Ephesians 2. Who is this stone? Ephesians 2, verse 20. It says, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Well, the apostles and the prophets are certainly qualified, right? So the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Are you to tell me that the stone that the builders rejected that became the chief cornerstone was actually Jesus Christ himself? Jesus Christ was considered unqualified. And yet he was the most qualified. Sometimes other people make us feel like we're unqualified. And according to the chief leaders in the church, Jesus was unqualified. Let's go back to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 43. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. These were the people who thought they were qualified. And Jesus says, I'm going to take it away from you and give it to the people that you think are unqualified, but will actually produce fruit. Verse 44, he who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but on whom it falls, he will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They thought that they were qualified. And Jesus was unqualified. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to take it away from you because you think you're qualified and give it to those who are unqualified. So how does this work? And why would God do that? I mean, if you're looking for somebody to do a job, don't you look for the most qualified person? Why would Jesus go to the unqualified? Galatians 5. Let's turn to Galatians 5. How does this all work? Galatians 5, 16 and 17. We're talking about growing in Christ. We just read about those who would produce fruit. And verse 16 says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. We have a battle that's going on. Have you ever felt unqualified to do the work that God has called you to do? Let's jump to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, which we just read about, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, is what he said. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Jesus said he would take it away from those who thought they were qualified and give it to those who would produce fruit. Well, here's the fruit. Which only happens when you walk by the Spirit, he says. So, what about you? What about me? When you read this, do you walk by the Spirit? Is this the fruit that is being produced? When you look at your own life, do you feel even unqualified in the production of fruit? Let's go to 1 John 1. 1 John 1, because God has an answer for this too. 1 John 1, 8 through 10 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you claim to be qualified, then you're lying. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, because he is qualified. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. If we claim to be qualified, we're saying that God is lying. And his word has no place in our lives. That's pretty serious. You know, when you first come to Christ, it's wonderful and it's exciting. And then you start on your Christian walk, your growth in Christ. And then you start looking at yourself and you're like, this is not working. I'm not producing all this fruit. And Jesus says, yes, because you are unqualified. But he says, I'm qualified, and I will forgive your sins. So then what happens? How do we grow? How do we produce this fruit that Jesus is desiring us to produce? Let's go to John 15. John chapter 15. You know what? It's John chapter 5. And it's right up there, even though it says John 15, and I wrote down John 15. Let me go to the right place. No? Where am I going? I am mixed up. John 15. Okay, I was in the wrong chapter. The wrong book. That's why. So John 15, starting with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch in me that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken in you. You know, we look at ourselves and we're like, we're not producing fruit. Are we going to get cut off? Or we think we're not producing fruit. And then he says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken in you. We have to believe that Jesus has spoken his word in us. And that we are already clean because he spoke it in us. And then he says, in verse 4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And Jesus tells us about how to grow in him. We just remain in him. Abide in him. Not work hard. Right? It's so simple, but it's so difficult for us. Because growth takes time, doesn't it? I mean, you don't plant a seed, and then the next day you have peaches on a peach tree. I like peaches, so I'm talking about peaches right now, right? You have to wait. You have to wait for it to grow and to sprout and to come out of the ground, and then it grows tall, and you don't get fruit that first year. You have to wait till the next year. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years before you get fruit on the tree. There's patience involved. But if you cut the tree down, it's not going to grow, right? You know, if you pull the little sprout out because you don't think it's going fast enough, it's not going to grow. And so God just says, remain in me. Just remain there. And I will remain in you. And then verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, the vine is qualified. And we need to be connected to the vine. Because apart from the vine, we're nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given unto you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. Have you ever felt unqualified? Is God's church qualified? What do you think? God's church, is it qualified? I mean, at the beginning, God's church consisted of families, basically, right? Adam and Eve, they were God's church. Seth, Noah, God's church. Abraham and Sarah, little family units were God's church. But then God called a group of people, a nation, to be his church, Israel. And God said something about this church. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. Make sure I'm in the right book this time. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. What a wonderful promise. The church wasn't just going to be little families, Abraham and Sarah. The church was now going to be this nation, and it had a purpose. He could have picked any people, but he chose Abraham and Sarah because they were not qualified. I mean, Sarah was barren. So it's really hard to make a nation, you know, when there's no fertility there. Abraham was old, right? They were unable to have children. So that makes it, they had a lot of unbelief, right? Because when God told them, I'm going to make of you a great nation, they decided to go and try to make a great nation, you know, their own way. Lots of unbelief. That makes you unqualified, I would think. You know, the fact is, he did not create a nation out of Abraham and Sarah until they realized that they were unqualified. They thought God had called them and they were qualified and they were going to do it. God said, I'm going to wait until you realize this. You're not qualified. What was the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the church? Genesis 12, verse 3 says, to bless all the peoples on the earth, not to just bless themselves. The church wasn't supposed to be a blessing just to itself. The church was to bless all the peoples on the earth. Exodus 19, let's jump to Exodus 19. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Says, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. The Israelites, they were God's church. They were to be a kingdom of priests. And what did the priests do back then? What was their role? Intercession, mediation between God and man, right? They were to not just have their own priests for their own church to mediate between the people in the church and God. They were to be a kingdom of priests for the whole world because they were to be a blessing for the whole earth. That was the purpose of the church. That is the purpose of our church, to be a blessing to the entire earth. Kingdom of priests. Genesis 49, let's go back there. Genesis 49, verse 10. God had chosen Israel because to be this mediator, to be this kingdom of priests. And the best thing about it was that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, was to come through Israel. This was the climax of what this church was going to accomplish, shall we say, and their mission. So Genesis 49:10 says, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between its feet until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. Of the nations, not the nation. The obedience of the earth was to be his. Isaiah 9, let's jump to Isaiah 9. Right before Jeremiah. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 2 and verse 6. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living on the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The Messiah was to come through this church, and they were to share him with the entire world. Jesus wasn't just for the Jews. We know this because of John 3:16. And you all probably know this one. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus was given to the world. That was what the church was for, a conduit for God to come to the world. That was it. That was what the purpose of the church was. But the church became exclusive. The church became exclusive anyway. It was never intended to be exclusive. The church was to share the Messiah to the world, but they became so exclusive, so qualified, that they excluded and disqualified the Messiah. They were so qualified that their whole reason, their whole purpose for existence, for Christ to come, that when he came, they said, "Oh no, you're not good enough for us. You don't meet the requirements on our list. You're not qualified." Let's go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, starting with verse 22. So, this is during Christ's trial. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him. He's unqualified." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Then Pilate saw he was getting nowhere. But that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and he washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and all on our children." You know, they disqualified themselves from being God's church when they crucified the very one that was to come through the church. And they accepted responsibility, "Let his blood be on us and on our children," because they thought they were too qualified. They rejected the Messiah and their calling as a church. And so then the church was opened up to all those who believe in Christ, the Messiah, the way that it was originally intended to be. The church was supposed to be open to all those who believe that Christ was the Messiah, is the Messiah. Let's go to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. "You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." The church was opened up to everyone. You didn't have to be a Jew to be part of the church. There was no qualification. Jews or Greeks, male or female, slave or free, could all be part of the church. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Everyone was to be heirs, was to be Abraham's seed. Romans 9. Let's go to Romans 9. Verses 6 through 8. "It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are of Israel." See, they thought that if I am descended directly from Abraham, I am qualified and part of God's church. But God said, just because you're actual physical descendant doesn't make you part of my church. Verse 7, "Nor because they are descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. For this was how the promise was stated, 'At the appointed time, I will return and Sarah will have a son.'" You see, the reason that Israel was there was because of a miracle in the first place. It wasn't because of anything Abraham and Sarah did, literally, because they were unqualified. They couldn't have children. Let's go back to John 15. Do you remember the branches that were broken off? Well, We're going to go to Romans 11, but I want you to remember John 15. Remember the vine and the branches, and then in there they talked about, you know, if you don't bear fruit, the branches get broken off. Let's go to Romans 11. Starting with verse 17. Let's talk about the branches that are broken off, because I think sometimes we get a little worried about that. Romans 11, starting with verse 17. If some of the branches had been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You see, you are still unqualified. Even if you are grafted in, you have nothing to boast about. You can't say, oh, look, I believe in Christ. I'm grafted in. You who think you're, you know, you've been a Seventh-day Adventist all your life. I haven't. I just came in. I'm better than you. What? You have nothing you can say. Because you're not the root. You're not the vine. You're not the one that's qualified. Verse 19. But you will say then, branches were broken off so I could be grafted in. These people left and I took their place. Granted. But if they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith, do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he's not going to spare you either. Wow. So, just keep that in mind. Consider, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. Just because a branch is broken off doesn't mean there's no hope for them anymore. They can be grafted in just as easily, even if they were natural in the first place. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree and it is wild by nature, and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? The branches are all unqualified. It's the vine, the root, which is Christ. Stay in the church. Stay in the vine, connected to the vine. Grow in Christ. Remember Matthew 21, verse 42? Let's go back there and read that again. Matthew 21, 42. Jesus said to them, "Have you ever read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce fruit." So we're talking about, we just talked about the vine and producing fruit and how this is done. And now I want to look at the stone. The stone that was considered unqualified by those who thought they were unqualified. Jesus Christ was that stone. He became the capstone. I want to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, what about us as well? 1 Peter 2, verses 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but those to who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You see, if you don't believe in God, then you are destined to disobey. That is your destiny. If you are not connected to the vine, it is your destiny to wither and die. But we are all chosen to be connected to the vine. And if you are connected to the vine, you will grow and flourish. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. See, this is what you're chosen to do, to be a royal priesthood, to do what the church was originally intended to do, be a blessing to the earth, a conduit for the Messiah to come. A holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare his praises. That is your mission. As a church, your mission is to declare his praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful life. Once you were not a people. Verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. If you go back up to verse 5, it says, you also are living stones. Did you know that? That you are living stones? Let's go back to Matthew 3. I want you to keep in mind your branches, your stones. Matthew chapter 3. Let's see what it says. Do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. This is verse 9. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. You may think that you are natural born into the church, but God says, do not think to yourself, I've been a church member all my life. I'm fourth, fifth generation Seventh-day Adventist. I am a child of Abraham. I tell you, out of these stones, God will raise up children for Abraham. And then he goes back to the tree incident. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Stones and branches. God can raise up his church out of anywhere. When I read this verse, it reminded me of another story in the Bible. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. See, the stones would have been considered unqualified to the children of Abraham. Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 37. This is Jesus at his triumphal entry. He's coming in, riding the colt, and he says, verse 37, when he came near to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. See, because we are to praise God, right? That is the mission of the church. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Well, some of the Pharisees in the crowd, the qualified people, said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. The unqualified, we are called to be stones. When those that people would cut off to praise God, God will bring the stones to cry out. And that is who we are. The unqualified, the stones that will cry out in praises to God when others are silenced. That is the purpose of the church. That is growing in Christ. I want to show a video. You guys want to see the video? I want to show a video of the unqualified. And I want to ask you if you identify with any of these people.
God can't use you. Think he only uses perfectly qualified people? Take a closer look. Moses was not a great speaker. Jonah ran from God. Jacob was a liar. Noah got drunk. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair. Jeremiah was depressed. A lot. Solomon was rich in wisdom, but poor in lifestyle. John the Baptist was just plain poor. Timothy Abraham was too young. Abraham was too old. Lazarus was dead. Sarah was barren. Naomi was a widow. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. So did Sarah. Peter lacked self-control. James and John were self-righteous. Paul had a short fuse. Well, so did Peter and Moses. Actually, lots of people did. God's army isn't perfect. It never has been. It's the march of the unqualified. Get in line.
Are you ready to join God's church? The church of the unqualified. Jesus says, Paul speaks about this, but God says in 1 Corinthians 1, 27 through 31, our scripture reading, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord."